Okay, greetings, folks. This is Lee Edwards. This is KROV Oroville, 91.1 FM, also heard on the internet at KROV.FM. And the program is Our Town. And special guest today, Jeremy Wilson, and according to his card, Community Service Program Manager. So, I know one thing, regardless of what Jeremy does, a lot of things in this community that need service, that need help. And it's wonderful to have people spending their lives dedicated to having things happen for other folks. So greetings and welcome. And maybe you can begin with a little introduction about overview of what you do, how your place is organized.
Absolutely. My name is Jeremy Wilson, and it's a pleasure, absolute pleasure to be here, and an equal pleasure to be a servant of Butte County and work for a fine department, the Department of Behavioral Health. And we provide different types of services, from prevention to early intervention to therapeutic services and crisis services to individuals living in Butte County.
How in the world does someone choose to be involved? I'm thinking of you, 11-year-old kid, doing whatever 11-year-old kids do. And did you think someday, this is what I want to be involved in? Did you have influences? Did you have choices? What brings a person to your job?
You know, I always give credits to my parents first, because if it wasn't for the phenomenal job my parents did raising my siblings and I, then I would not be where I am today, and nor have accomplished anything close to that I have. And they really emphasized with us that the whole is greater than just the parts. And so as a family, we are very close still today, and there was always opportunities for us to give to each other's siblings or as parents or as our community. And we come from a long line of public servants. My parents were both public servants in their careers, and that, you know, goes back generations. And my sister, brother, and I are all public servants. And so it was a natural opportunity for us. I didn't necessarily think that I would be in behavioral health. I come from a long line of educators as well, and I always thought that was the path I was going to go. And it happens, as often I think many things do, that our niche in the world finds us. We don't find it. And so I was applying for an extra help job when I was finishing up my degree, and saw a posting for a opportunity to work with students in a leadership program. And that was 11 years ago. And I've been with our department ever since, and I've had an opportunity to serve in different capacities, and right now have a wonderful time being the community services program manager and overseeing services, but also getting to get out in the community and engage with our residents here to see what is the need for our county.
And does that mean, I assume it does from what you're saying, that if in your life, in your experiences, working with others or whatever you're doing, you come across something where you feel there's like an unfulfilled need, does that sort of give you the privilege of directing efforts in that direction in some way?
Absolutely. As an individual, you know, that's one of the things that I love to do most, is to serve others and see what their need is and how I can meet that. And that translates over into my professional career and our role at the department. There are services that we're required to provide the community, we receive funding for, at the same time always keeping close to the community to understand what are the unmet needs and are there ways that we can pursue getting those services here in Butte County. Two great examples recently is, for years we've heard the need for a program that would allow individuals that are experiencing a crisis to stay here locally. There are only so many services we can provide locally, And then we'd have to send them out of county, and that can be 30 miles away, that can be 4 hours or even farther away. And when you send somebody who's experiencing a crisis crisis, when you send them away, that may be good in terms of getting them a service, but they're removed from their support system. So family, friends, seeing the therapists that they do, or their psychiatrists, and even just their, you know, the familiar surroundings. And we, 3 years ago, pursued a grant opportunity to get funding so that we would be able to have a crisis residential program here. And we received the grant, and on July 1st, we had an open house for the Iris House that's located in Chico. But it will be a but it will serve all of Butte County. And it's a crisis residential program that allows individuals who just need a little extra time post-crisis to get reconnected to housing or their services, or reach out to the support services. So we don't have to send them hours away. We can keep them here locally. And that's a need we've heard for years, and we just kept pursuing. And then finally the state had funding, grant funding, specifically for that program.
I think I get the picture, because, of course, the word crisis is very scary and very real, especially if you're in it. I think a lot of the economics, I think of no rent, no groceries, suddenly you're homeless. I mean, I can think of, you know, so many things like that. And so how do folks find you that have these needs? It's not like it's on a bulletin board on the highway or something. You must have a program that gets referrals, or...
Absolutely. We have a 24-hour crisis line, and it's operational 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can call toll-free 1-800-334-6622. Again, that's 1-800-334-6622. And that serves not only as our crisis line for our department, but it also serves as our access line. And that allows individuals who they themselves, or they have a loved one, a family member or a friend that needs some services. And that provides someone on the line, one of our staff members, who can see and hear what's going on and either, you know, refer them to our services or provide them with other options in the community.
One of the things I envision is that people who have needs, serious needs, to the point where you would call it a crisis, probably number one, they aren't in a position mentally to seek, say, oh, help me, help me. And the other is, if they were in such a position, they wouldn't know where to go. So I'm guessing, but part of the problem, if you would call it a problem, but part of the thing hindering some of your efforts, your agency, the whole social service agency, is letting people know you exist. How do you go about something like that?
Yeah, we do a lot of outreach to the community, whether that's through partnerships with other community organizations, making sure that our services are covered in the press, going on radio shows with your local community radio, and also making sure that we're not just the only access point. And by that I mean we have staff who are located in the emergency rooms for our hospitals. So an individual may be going to the emergency room in crisis. We also partner with our law enforcement. So our hospitals and our law enforcement are often people who come across individuals in crisis often. And those partnerships and working together so that we're aware of each other's services and how we can support each other is a huge, huge win for our community. And then we hold different community meetings throughout the year around our funding, and that's an opportunity to educate people. And recently we partnered with the Butte County Libraries. Excuse me. Sure. The Butte County Libraries on a project where we trained their staff on mental health, mental illness, stigma and discrimination associated with mental illness, as well as the different resources that are available through our department and other community organizations. So like you brought up earlier, it's always looking for that unmet need and how can we meet that? Sometimes it's education and awareness, it's building new partnerships, and sometimes it's securing funding for a service.
Folks just tuning in, by the way, this is The Bird, KROV Oroville, 91.1 FM, our town, and Jeremy Wilson, Program Manager for Community Services, Butte County Behavioral Health. Was that pretty accurate?
That is accurate.
Okay. I what a personal guest this is, and it's hard to speak when I think deeply about what's being provided and what's available. And it's a blessing that again, more people need to know about. We had a contact number for the crisis line, 800-334-6622. Do we have some web information? Because that's not so hard for people nowadays. They can get a hold of that pretty easy. That'll lead them, I don't know. You tell me how it leads them and what they can find.
Yeah, if you visit www.buttecounty.net, that is the website for the entire county system and all of our departments. And on the top right hand, top upper banner, there will be a tab that says department. And if you were to click on that, you would be able to look at the websites and contact information for our different departments throughout the county, not just behavioral health. If you visit behavioral health tab, we break it out where there's, if you're looking for services for adults, crisis, youth, and then on there, there's a lot of different information so you can understand the services we provide, but there's also where we are located, our centers, and the contact information. So for Gridley, Oroville, Chico, and Paradise. So it helps people understand where we are and different services we provide.
And I don't suppose you have any occasions where there's such a thing as somebody that just happens to stumble across and just drop in and say, "Help! Does that really happen?" And how's that work?
It does happen. It's not uncommon, and our staff are ready to help anyone who walks through the doors. And if they're experiencing a crisis and they come across one of our centers, there are staff there who will support them and connect them with our crisis services. They may be someone who isn't in crisis, but is definitely in need of a service. And our staff there are, again, very skilled, professional, and dedicated, and will help that individual get connected to what works for them.
And what about the folks that are actually involved in this actual hands-on work with people in need? It seems so difficult. It seems so much like they're in need of some kind of a support system themselves, because what they're dealing with, they don't just, I'm sure, finish their day and go home and think about sunshine and roses. So do you have programs? Do you have methods? Do you have something that supports the people supporting the people? How does that, is that?
That's a great point. And absolutely. During this May, we brought in an agency that helped to provide training for our management and supervisors to support staff when they deal with intense situations. And not just our staff, but we open it up to other departments as well. And also, how do you support a staff member who is just experiencing a mental health challenge that may not be related to work, because we are all humans.
Sure.
And that was just one way. And then we've been working with a local expert, Andrea Rio, who supports units and emergency responders, behavioral health, social workers on what is called secondary trauma. And so when you're supporting and caring for someone who's experiencing trauma or has experienced trauma, that secondary trauma is how it's impacting you, that specific incident, that specific case, and how that impacts you, and making sure that you are getting connected to someone to support you, to debrief it. And then we're always promoting self-care. So when staff know that they need some support, seeking it out, or making sure you do things throughout the week that fill you up and help you be the best you can be. So when you're at work, you can do the hard work. We have very hardworking, dedicated staff.
Again, folks, this is Jeremy Wilson talking to you here, Butte County Behavioral Health Community Services Program Manager. Oh boy, I got through all that and my question went away, but it will return. Boy, I'm just kind of overwhelmed a little bit because, you mentioned funding, I think, at one point, and that it seems like there's all sorts of taxes that people pay for real estate sales, whatever. But in the end, I see a lot of bond measures on ballots and things like that, which lets me know that government, whether it be state or national or local, don't necessarily throw a lot of financial support to agencies like the one you're involved in. And your agency isn't an agency. To me, it's got so many different branches covering so many different problems, potential problems. Is that a thing whereby it creates a position where you have people who are, what's the word, full-time seeking financial support? Or is there any kind of time when you sort of breathe easy, where you feel like you're okay for a while?
You know, with a public funded agency, Our funding stream, for the most part, reflect the economy itself. And so whether these taxes are at the federal level or a state level that generate those revenues, it's, again, looking at, you know, where are we as a nation or as a state economically. And then there are funding sources that are specific to mental health or behavioral health. And so we get a percentage, or it's based off what services we provide and a reimbursed rate. And so, you know, there's a lot of need out there, and especially with behavioral health and mental health and some of our other social services and education, there isn't ever enough, because there is just, you know, a larger population and a larger need. And so, you know, we're breathing easy at times when the economy is doing well, but I wouldn't say that we're kicking back our feet in terms of, oh, we have enough funding. I've yet to hear a public servant ever say that.
Yeah, and then I'm just listening to you, and you're saying things like behavioral health. I sort of appreciate the way your services are broken down, the various titles. It's health. To me, that puts a light on it that some people might not see. If somebody's husband is beating her over the head all the time with a fly swatter or something and so on, and she's having this trauma, it doesn't get into abuser. It doesn't say for abused or this or that. It says health. It's to support the wholeness, and I guess there's a good reason for that.
Absolutely. You know, language is very powerful and shapes our views and our actions and our perspectives. And one of the things that is really, really important is for us to address the stigma and discrimination that surrounds mental illness. And Each Mind Matters, if you were to visit it on the web, is eachmindmatters.org. It's California's mental health movement, and very few states, if any other states, have a unified movement that supports reducing the stigma and discrimination associated with mental illness, and then also helps to educate the larger community and us as a people on how different cultures and different backgrounds and different races and ethnicities view mental health, but also mental illness. There are traditional or spiritual or other approaches, not just the traditional Western approach. And you're right, health is something that we all have. And also to reduce that stigma is when we talk about behavioral health, instead of saying, you know, someone who's mentally ill, what we want is we want to create an equality, a parity between physical health and behavioral health. If we had a friend who was walking around on a broken leg, we would not hesitate, and we probably wouldn't stop, you know, following up with them until they went to see a doctor. So we'd say, you know, why are you walking around on a broken foot? Let's get you to the doctor. And if I need to drive you as a friend, I will. I don't care what it takes. Let's get you off that broken foot. And with mental health challenges there and addiction, there is a large amount of stigma attached to it. And so we don't want to talk about it. We at times don't even want to acknowledge that it's there for whatever reason. And we want that to stop. We want it to be where when you see a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, where you notice something's just not right about them, you're not afraid to just check in as you would if you saw a friend limping around and that led right. to discovering that they're on a broken foot and walking around. You want to normalize it to say, hey, this is equal. This is the whole person. We don't separate out our physical health and our behavioral health. We don't say, well, the person neck down is doing fine. You know, that's not how we treat each other.
Yeah, right.
But in terms of when we see someone face to face, but on that, you know, in the healthcare industry, and because of this stigma and not blaming the industry as a society, that there is that separation. And so saying health is different than saying someone who's ill.
Yeah. Again, folks, Jeremy Wilson here on The Bird, KROV. One of the things that's been, maybe it's not more recently, I don't listen to the radio all that much, but I've heard so much about people on painkillers become addicted. And then it seems like there's a crackdown on how many painkillers a doctor is allowed to prescribe. And here we have these addicts who can't get things through a normal channel, and they're forced to either suffer immensely or find them elsewhere. And I assume that, yes, people get involved recreationally and get addicted to, of course. It works both ways, but is this an area where the county's fairly active, that people are sore, so we can feel that people are aware, and rather than throwing them in a cell and locking the door, there's other things to be offered to people in our county?
Yes, there's a variety of different organizations that do provide substance use disorder treatments, and our agency is one that does. And when individuals are experiencing or challenged by addiction, often there is what we call co-occurring, and that is that they're also experiencing a mental health challenge. And, you know, I wouldn't know the statistics off the top of my head, but there is a portion of those individuals where the mental health challenge led to the substance use because of, you know, again, that stigma or not being able to access services or having that support system.
Sure. Or being able to function what we would call in quotes normally.
Absolutely.
And there's this need, and what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Whatever lets you escape is what you're going
to
do.
Right. And I always like to say normal is just a setting on a dryer.
Yeah.
Or a washer. And yeah. So with individuals, it's really, again, going back and treating the whole person to see what is causing that and providing services. And opioid use and overdose is something that is unfortunately sweeping the nation, and we have local efforts to address it, and there are some prescriptions, some controlled substances that have tendencies to become more addictive than others, and that's where you referred there being a new level of monitoring and prescription, you know, maximum or frequency, because of making that connection and seeing what we can do so that unintentionally individuals are not becoming addicted to something that they were prescribed.
Yeah, life doesn't get any easier, it seems like.
No, not at all.
As time goes on, there seems to be more different types of interactions that we all have to deal with. And we have our guest here today, Jeremy Wilson, Butte County. Okay, here we go. Well, Butte County Behavioral Health. That's probably the easiest and shortest. Once again, let me try this to make sure I have it correctly so I can write this up properly. We have a 24-hour crisis line, 800-334-6622. We have www.butecounty.net, and under that, you look under departments, and there you can find like behavioral health and other sister departments who are trying to help folks get by. And you mentioned public exposure. You let people know about this in some way. Again, it seems a terribly hard task to get the people that really need it to know about it.
And we do have other outreach strategies in our different programs. We work and partner with different agencies, the hospitals, law enforcement, the homeless shelters or centers as well, so that it's individuals recognizing that they do need support or want support, but then there's also other individuals who, for a variety of reasons, and no judgment behind it, may not be engaged in services yet. And so making sure that we spend time outreaching and educating and empowering them, you know, that's ultimately one of our goals in wellness and recovery, is that individuals feel empowered, that they have a voice in their wellness, and that our job is to provide what we know while they provide, you know, their perspective and what works for them. And that is also part of that reduction in stigma, is that there's not just a magic pill, or there's not the one way. You know, there may be one way to treat a broken foot, or only two or three ways to treat it. Where with behavioral health, there's a variety of ways that would work for an individual, and that again goes back to that person-centered care and empowering them so that they have a voice.
And when I was trying to contact you, Jeremy, I had some, I guess what you could call outdated information and so on, and I was looking for the HERE project, H-E-R-E, Homeless Emergency Rescue Effort, and I didn't get clear. Thank heavens I got you here, and we have you on the radio, and you're this is really neat. Is there something you can tell me about that? Because I heard that about that years ago. And that's certainly a time in people's lives when they're not little children, they're not adults, and they're learning to fend for themselves in some ways. And sometimes they're making mistakes, but other times they're sadly in a family situation that's abusive, yet they can't just decide, okay, I'll go and live somewhere else because they can't afford to. Blah, blah, blah for me anyway. Can you speak a little bit about that and where the HERE people are, or where folks who see this happening in a young adult, where would they go? I know they could start. They could start right where you told me, and maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, they're welcome to, you know, again, call our crisis line, and our staff are happy to connect them or refer them. And the HERE program, the name is no longer, and it's now the HEART, H-E-A-R-T program, and it's operated by Youth for Change. They also operate a variety of programs throughout Butte County, but specifically the 6th Street Drop-In Center in downtown Chico. And that really is targeting youth and transitional age youth. So that population you described, not really a child anymore, but not really an adult, but they're out on their own, or they've had to run away from home for a variety of reasons. And that is to really, again, that unmet need is when individuals are experiencing homelessness or they've run away and needing to be connected to services, a variety of services, HEART and the 6th Street Drop-In Center are there to outreach to them, meet them where they are in terms of what needs they meet, and connected them in services to empower them and help them with their health and their wellness, so that they can, you know, receive housing or get the trainings that they need to get a job and really be empowered on their own.
Yeah, you mentioned the 6th Street Drop-In Center. Is that just what it sounds like? I mean, is it just like you walk in the door and say, help?
Absolutely. It's a drop-in center for, again, that transitional age youth, 16 to 24, who are experiencing homelessness or running away or have run away. And the center is open. And I don't know the operating hours off the top of my head, but if you were to Google 6th Street Drop-In Center, Chico, California, their website would come up, and the operating hours are there. And yes, there are some activities, some services provided, but then there's that opportunity to just walk in, drop in, and connect with one of their staff.
And I assume by the same method, Youth for Change is something you could check on the web.
Absolutely.
And you would locate the local.
Absolutely.
Do you know if that's a widespread, or is that just a local group?
So Youth for Change, they serve Butte County. They do serve some other region. They have regional projects or services outside the county. But 6th Street is unique to Butte County. There are other like services throughout the state, but it would be something that model is really unique to the county. Other counties do receive the mental health services funding, MHSA, and that funding supports the 6th Street Drop-In Center. And so counties were able to hear from stakeholders about what were unmet needs. And so I would assume that some other counties heard the need to serve that transitional age youth who's experiencing homelessness and running away. So if people are, you know, not from Butte County or trying to find services outside of Butte County, they did some internet searching for that county, that department. If you just, you know, if it was, say, Sacramento County and you Googled Sacramento County Behavioral Health, they would have contact info and be able to say if they have a like service.
Yeah, what a good deal it is that so much information is so readily available now that it wasn't before. Instead of sitting down, first finding a telephone book, if there is such a thing, they're extinct almost, and then knowing how to use it, and then finding what you need. And how many people would have the courage to go just to a police department, law enforcement? I assume law enforcement is right up on this whole thing, right, in terms of being able to refer and help people.
Yeah, they partner with our department, and actually right now, this week, the crisis intervention training, it's called CIT Academy, is happening here at Butte College, and that's a partnership with our department, Butte College, and the law enforcement agencies in town. And that's a training targeting and specific for law enforcement, and it provides them with crisis and mental health and behavioral health training. So there are times where they will get a call, and when they respond and show on scene with CIT training, they may be able to recognize that this is not a typical law enforcement call in the sense of I need to protect here. It's changing it from let me look at enforcement and protection to this individual is experiencing a crisis or a mental health challenge. That's what's causing these behaviors, and it switches how they would respond. And it's a huge win for not only our law enforcement, but also those individuals in our community.
Okay. guest today, Jeremy Wilson, Community Service Program Manager, Butte County Behavioral Health. Hope you've been listening. By the way, we do record these and post them up on www.krov.fm. So if you do that and click the listen button, you can hear the things he's had to say this morning, been able to speak to you about. What am I missing? I got your background a little bit. A lucky fellow. I hope you realize how fortunate you are, because so many of the people seeking your services didn't have a family unit anywhere near like yours. And you really are blessed.
I agree. I say it all the time. My parents, Rick and Karen Wilson, and my siblings, Jen and Richard, and then they've both married phenomenal people, and they've blessed me by being making me an uncle, and we are very close and spend a lot of time together. And my parents would be the first to say, "Oh no, we didn't do anything. It's all the kids." But my sister, brother, and I are very clear that, you know, our parents are the reason we're here today, and they were both educators when we were growing up, and they chose education for two reasons. One, public service. They believe in the joy of teaching. But they also chose it because it allowed them to be parents first and still work. And so my sister and I and my brother, we always had someone in the stands for us. So there's three of us in 4 years, all athletes, all very active. And our parents were either coaching us, driving us on the boosters or the PTA, or they were in the stands cheering us on. And that's very unheard of. And so you are right. There's not a day doesn't go by where I'm not reminded and think of just how fortunate and blessed I am that I had that growing up. And now we're still very close and spend a lot of time together. And that continues on, that now we're in a different stage of life. But every day I thank my lucky stars for my parents and my siblings.
Sure. Anything we missed, something I didn't ask you, something you feel folks should know about that's involved in, wow, what an agency. Do you have a clue how many people, like when I just say something like Butte County Behavioral Health, like how many individuals we're talking about that serve there and work there?
Yeah, our staff is about over 430 people. And so, yeah, we're very fortunate, and our staff work really hard, and we have a variety of staffing, from managers, licensed clinical social workers, licensed marriage family therapists, behavioral health counselors. We have psychiatrists, psychiatric nursing staff. We have staff who work on the the business and IT side and fiscal side. So we have a lot of expertise in our department. And again, they're all very dedicated and hardworking, and we are fortunate to have so many individuals working for us that believe in serving.
Yeah, it seems to me it'd be very apparent to anyone there when you encounter all the input from people in need. It's like help, 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 help. The bell's got to ring in your head somehow and let you know how much you're needed, how important you are, and hopefully, and I'm sure it works that way, then you do whatever you can to fulfill that need and solve that problem.
Yes, we're always looking at ways that we, whether it's expanding services or securing new funding or even just being adaptable and as things change and what can we do, and you know, it's not just the frontline staff, the staff who are working to provide these services. We have staff who do a lot behind the scenes that, as anyone knows, that you always have two sides of the house that are working. And so, you know, those over 430 staff, there are people who bring their administrative expertise or their auditing or whatever, their IT, whatever it may be, that we need them, and they make us better and stronger. So, you know, there's a lot of staff, and there are also a lot of staff throughout our county departments And I think that if the public only knew exactly how many public servants we had through the county and the different departments, they would be very proud. And there are a lot of innovative programs and projects that come out of Butte County as well. Butte County is a hub, and I don't think that people know that. But there's a lot of things that we do really well that other counties look at and say, hey, we want to do that, or we're on that cutting edge. And so, you know, I just encourage people to go to our website, check out the different services. You know, there's off the top of my head, I believe it's 22 other different county departments, and people would not necessarily know that. And so Butte County is very fortunate to have the public servants that we do.
And once again, the website is
www.buttecounty.net. And on the top right banner, there will be a tab that says departments, and you can click on it and it will list all of the county departments. It's also a great place to get information that's relevant to the county, of course, but that can be anywhere around different ordinances that have come into effect, or around when the, you know, if there's mosquitoes are high, to flu shots. There's a variety of info that's on that that benefits the county, so it's a great resource.
Okay, anything you want to add? Anything else?
I can't think of anything. I know that we could sit here for hours and talk about all the different services, but
if we just went through the telephone list, it would be. Yeah, until tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, just thank you for having me on this show. And, again, check out the website, our website, buttecounty.net, as well, you know, eachmindmatters.org, and learn more about what's being done in California to promote mental wellness and reduce stigma and discrimination around mental health.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.